recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the church, big on Monday. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Drew?
Yeah, we do.
How you feeling, buddy?
Good.
Good,
great,
man.
Wonderful. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's what I like. Positivity. Boy, did I have a dream last night.
Oh, yeah.
I had a dream that I was attempting to kill myself.
Oh.
And that, like, the bullets weren't really doing it. And I was sort of shooting myself in the head. And I ended up, like, shooting myself in the head sort of repeatedly. And my thought was just sort of like, I don't want to be a vegetable. I just want to be dead. But somehow my technique was making me more going to end up being a vegetable more than being dead. That was like a big fear of mine. I mean, I don't believe I don't think I've had many or any suicide dreams. And I wasn't in a particularly bad mood. I was just like, it was like something I felt like I wanted to accomplish and I couldn't really accomplish it.
Do you have pleasant dreams ever?
Not really. Little bits and pieces, but mostly it's either, I have frustrating dreams, but I don't have pleasant dreams, but on rare occasion, I guess, but it's mainly, I just have the happy to be awake dreams when I wake up, you know. I have dreams that are sort of like pains in the ass. You know, come out, somebody's keyed my car or something. And then
you're glad it didn't happen.
Flat tire or whatever. Yeah. And I come out and I go, oh, God, somebody stole the car part. You know, like somebody ripped off the this or that. Yeah. And, crap. And then I wake up and I think for a minute, like, oh, wait a minute. Is that car stolen? And then I go, oh, no, it's not. I was dreaming. And then I go, oh, good. But I have mainly dreams about that. But no... no real, I don't call them pleasant dreams. I don't say.
That's a shame.
Well, it's kind of an interesting, I'm trying to figure out what the glimpse into the psyche is. Like, I'm generally wired. I never make any proclamations. Like,
about what?
You know, like, if I'm going to go do a show, I'm never like, I'm going to go out there and kick some ass on that stage. You know, I'm going to slay that audience. Right. I'm going to, you know, my thing is always like, it should be good. I hope it'll be fine. You know, and then if it's not above an 8 and someone goes, how'd it go? I'll go, I was a little bit off. And if it went really good, I'll go, it was a good night. But I don't really have, like, I feel like if I announce in advance it's going to be great, which I never do. I never have that.
I've never seen you do that.
You've never seen me.
Not even close. However.
Not even close.
However, I think you might do that in regards to racing. And you might.
Mm-hmm.
And you, well.
Well, let's see. You've known me for a long time.
Yeah.
So you've never heard any, this is going to be awesome.
Never. Racing. I kind of feel like I've heard you anticipate.
You've heard me tell you it went great. You've never heard me say it beforehand.
Not that I'm going to kill it and win. Just it's going to be awesome. I hear that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't do that much with racing. No, you're hearing it was awesome.
Okay, maybe.
You don't hear it's going to be awesome.
Maybe.
There's too much to go wrong before that.
Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying?
Could be. It could be.
You've heard a lot of it was awesome.
Yeah.
In here, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't have that.
Is that also gear. You don't get disappointed, or is that?
I think it's a combination of not wanting to get disappointed. I mean, like, not wanting to be disappointed, mixed with just, you know, generally how my family is about sort of everything's kind of rounded down.
Family,
but I brought them up.
No,
No, not on the air, but I have, and we've spoken to you in private.
Maybe I get some phone calls.
In confidence.
Yeah. Yes, I wouldn't want to admit to it. But
well, there's a there's a privilege
yes,
that we have.
Well, you've implied.
Right.
Implied. But it was so rare that you brought it up. I didn't even think about it.
But there were a little bit of a down rounders.
What?
You know what I mean?
Your family?
A little bit. And so it was like that mixed with trying to manage expectations, I guess. Also mixed with maybe I do put myself in situations where it would be unlikely for things to come out that great.
I also don't hear you kick yourself, you know, kick yourself around for something not going well or as well as you wanted.
Hmm. Yeah. You mean you don't hear me kick myself around
yeah.
for things not going. Yeah, I don't kick myself around. I yeah. will say if somebody says, how was the pageant theater on Saturday night? And it was an 8 or below. Mm. I will say it was fine, but I was a little off my game. But then I don't take it that much further than right. that. I like right. to internalize a little and then move on. And not turn it into a lifestyle or, you know, dissect it down to its smallest microbe, yeah. you know. I just go, I wasn't on my game
yeah.
Or something. And sometimes I'll say I wasn't on my game and maybe the audience wasn't on their game either. But right. either way, Drew's taking my buck slips. Yes.
Can I use one of these?
I got to look at it and see if there's something on there I want. No.
Are the blue one special for you?
Well, no, the blue, yeah. Here, right on the blue one. Okay. Give my other ones back. I have white buck slips. For jokes and ideas of things I want to do, thank you, on the show. Uh-huh. And then I have blue buck slips for stuff I need for business, around the house or stuff with the car, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It helps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
This one looks like a...
That doesn't look like my writing.
Travel document.
So somebody...
Travel documents.
Somebody wrote on that. If you can read it, I didn't write it. It's got to be ugly.
67 across the Pacific. Where are you going?
Oh, somebody was making I was saying, Drew, when you and I used to go out back in the day, 98, 99.
We'd have sex only every third time. I mean.
Right. And I meant go out on the road.
Oh.
Right. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah. If we were going, now please tell me you remember this. Mm. I'll bet you do.
Maybe.
If we were going to do a show in Phoenix, well, then it was 737 Southwest, yes. you know, Burbank, whatever.
Yes.
But if we're going to Chicago, we're going wide body.
Yes.
And if you're going to New York, you had no choice but to go wide
Back
body.
Then, yes.
And I remember.
Well, listen, United flew a 747 to Chicago 3 times a day.
Yeah. And I remember us going, I remember coming back from Denver once and flying a 777.
I was with you.
From Denver.
I was with you.
And going like, Jesus Christ, this big Rolls Royce stretch limo of a plane.
No, we had gigantic conversations about it, if you remember. And we were sitting, we were in coach back then, if you remember. And we didn't mind because we were enamored with the electronics and stuff. And you were talking about the engines. Remember how huge the engines were? We were sitting by the engines.
Hold on a second, Drew. Let me tell you about Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Caitlin Bristow is opening a bottle of wine and talking about The Bachelor. That's right, Bachelor Nation. Listen up every Tuesday and Thursday on Podcast One. Download Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow at Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. All right, let's get to it. So it started to dawn on me that I was getting in the 737s and 737 size airplanes and flying to New York and to Minneapolis.
757s now. Those are the ones that go. I mean, excuse me, these 8320s, which are 737 size, those go like everywhere now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, those and 737s.
Yes, yes.
They're just miniature. It used to all be Vegas, Phoenix, maybe Seattle or Portland, but you didn't go any further than that in a plane that size. And it kind of worked out nicely because your flight to Vegas was 51 minutes and like that was fine. But I don't want to sit in this coffin for 6 hours. It's too small, you know. And so I sort of realized, wait a minute, why am I going in a 737 or equivalent size plane and I'm flying to Newark? And I think... What's going on? And somebody tweeted me and said, the range, they've made the turbojet engines so much more efficient now that they can, instead of 2,000-mile range, they now can go 3,500 miles, and thus you're going cross-country in a miniature plane.
And I think there's another feature, which is they want to sell every seat, right? So it's a smaller plane.
Oh, look, there's no doubt about it.
And it's more fuel efficient than a smaller plane, more people.
Look, it's all...
Forget the range. This is just better mileage, too.
I get you. No, yes. They're trying to save money, and they would have done it in the past, but they couldn't make it. And now they can.
Yeah.
And so here we go. So it's on. So it's all about, it's just all about price per ticket. That's all in the maximum efficiency. And flying a 777 from Denver probably isn't maximum efficiency.
Did you have any thoughts about that 737 that blew up, Southwest flight?
Yeah, you know, my thoughts are always surprised that kind of stuff doesn't happen more often with the amount of metal that's turning and things that are happening mechanically times, you know, there's 5,000 flights in the air at any given time, or is that even just Southwest or in airplanes in general, like commercial flights? Like, so my first thought is always like, I feel bad for the person, and I feel bad for the family, and I feel bad for the people on the plane. And then my next thought is sort of like, God, I can't imagine this doesn't happen this all the time. And then my third thought is like a kind of a mechanical approach to it. Like I was saying on ACS that dragsters would have the blowers that would blow up and blow off and send the shards of metal into the crowd or the driver, and they start putting blower bags around them, basically, which is like bag that would catch
the explosion.
They put straps on the blower so the blower wouldn't blow off and end up in the crowd, And I started thinking, the inside of the jet intake, should it not have some carbon fiber or something, or some material that would catch the shrapnel? Because the thin gauge aluminum, it just course sail right through the the plane is thin gauge aluminum, the shroud is thin, Big Daddy Don Garlett, I think, drag racer. Back when the drag racing, the engine is in the back now.
It was in the front then with Big Daddy.
But the engine used to be in the front.
Yeah.
And anyone who looks at a flywheel, Drew, describe for the listeners how a flywheel functions.
No idea.
The flywheel, don't you know anything? Don't you even listen to Beach Boy songs? All right. The front of the engine, we're familiar with the front of the engine. That's where, like, the pulley is, and the pulley drives the alternator, the pumps. Or, that's the front of the crank. Yeah. The pulley's in the front.
Okay.
It kind of drives everything, right?
Yeah.
The back of the crank, that's the flywheel. It's a large, flat, thin, heavy wheel. It's notched. It's got gears in it all the way around. How do you think a starter works, Drew?
I put my key in the ignition and turn the car.
That's right. You turn it. What's happening is the starter motor has a gear. The gear pops out, grabs onto the flywheel, which is a big gear, turns, turns the crank. And then pops back in. That's why your starter's not engaged. It has a pop, pop.
Yeah.
Because it couldn't work if it was just constantly attached to this gear. Right?
Yeah.
And when they say, like, your solenoid's bad or whatever, that means it's not engaged. It's not popping out. So it pops out. You turn the key. Your starter turns. It cranks. And when it goes, it pops back in. When you make that weird grind noise or something, that's it, like, popping out and hitting the gear while it's already turning. You feel me?
Yeah, I do.
All right. What attaches to that flywheel?
In the back? The drivetrain?
Okay. All right. We're getting close. But what's there?
The axle differential? Something like that? Or
no.
No. What's back there?
Well, what do we have to connect the drivetrain to the engine?
I don't know what that's called. What is that?
You're writing this down?
U joint, the universal joint there? I know.
called a clutch drive.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Okay. Okay. The clutch engages.
Yeah.
And disengages.
Yeah.
Right? You want to connect the engine to the rear wheels, yeah. Clutch engage. Push your foot in, pull the clutch back.
Yeah.
Now you're just
spinning.
Turning, right? All right. When that dragster gets fired up and that thing's going a million miles an hour and something goes wrong with that flywheel and it comes loose, it's a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
It's literally a saw blade that has just come loose and is flying.
Oof.
Now imagine your feet are down there.
Yeah.
And Big Daddy, I think, got his foot chopped off pretty good once or
really?
Twice or something. Well, why
wow.
wouldn't why wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So they invented a protective bell housing, meaning the clutch, the transmission, has a protective housing, bell housing that goes around it. So if that thing spins out or breaks or becomes weaponized, it's contained inside of this. And now that extra protection is weight. And you don't really want that in a jet engine. But what I started to think is, what about a sort of protective bell housing for if that impeller propeller goes south again?
Is that some of what's in front of the – I guess that's just really an intake.
That's an intake. Yeah. But you could do it, I believe. Gary can probably look it up. I'll bet you an A-10 Warthog – has a protective bell housing around its jet so that stuff doesn't get weaponized and cut through the plane and go through it. He can look. I know it's kind of bulletproof, but you look it up. You know what A-10 Warthog is, Drew?
I know what they look like. I wouldn't know. It's like a tank destroying plane, aren't they?
All right. Yeah. Drew's back to buy.
Hey, listen, I appreciate
it. Say hi to your buy buddies.
No one has ever explained engines to me, ever, my entire life. Isn't that weird?
Well, my pappy sat me down on his knee.
No, but listen, I had some other things occupying me. But I've no
Drew, what's wrong with you? Why don't you know what an engine does?
Same reason I don't know how TV works or things I just assume I'll never understand. That's all.
Okay.
I can confirm you're correct on the Big Daddy thing and losing his foot in 1970.
Thank you.
It says here a piece out of his right foot, but then later they go on to quote him as saying that it cut my foot off. So a little bit conflicting, but.
Nah, piece out of my right foot and cut my foot off. It's right up.
Maybe they sewed it back on.
I'm just going to go ahead and label me right.
Oh, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Show his vehicle up there. That black, wasn't it a black dragster with the engine up front?
He had a million different swamp rat or swamp whatever. They have a new one every year. But what I'm saying is, Drew, I'll tell you next show how an internal combustion engine works.
I have some understanding of that, but not good.
Well, I'll be amused if you describe it to us.
No.
No? All right. You know how it works. You're just going to play close to the vest.
Well, I sort of know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me tell you about Butcher Box. We love these guys. Delivered healthy. They deliver healthy 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken. Now, listen to this, Drew.
Yeah.
In heritage bread pork directly to your door on a monthly basis. And I was talking to these guys. I said, I love all this. I love we're all into Vinny. We're all into the protein. You're on the old beef diet and all that kind of stuff.
Is there anything out there that can go take a piece of right now?
And we can check the fridge. I got it at the other shop. But so I said, and tell me how this is going to sound to you.
All right.
I said, I was talking to the guys from Butcher Block, and I said, what do you mean heritage bread pork? I don't know all the lingo and the code. And they said, well, the new pork are all, you know, the other white meat, they bred all the fat out of it. And I was like, yeah, I used to love pork and pork chops. Like, pork was the most succulent of flavorful.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got weird and dry and it became the other white meat and it became like eating. Oh, we got it right here.
Oh,
don't,
my God.
Yeah, don't let Drew take that with him, though.
I can have something.
It became a. Oh,
my God.
Oh, all right.
This is unbelievable.
Mine. Get it out of here. Put it in my car.
Wow.
I put it somewhere where I can take it. So I started talking to the guys, and I said, Yeah, because I stopped ordering pork and stuff because it became like a boiled chicken breast. And I remember as a kid, not at the Corolla house, but when I'd go to Chris Bohm's house, it'd be pork chop night. It was like, oh, good with the fat, and, you know, whatever. And he said to me that the heritage bred pork is the old pork.
Huh. Interesting.
It's marbled with the fat and the flavor and all that.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. I love that sound. Anyway, all products are humanely raised, never given antibiotics or hormones. Tastes unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Huge difference. Animals are raised in a pasture and fed grain in concentrated feedlots. And there's just a, I should say, the concentrated feedlots are what you don't want. The raised in the pasture is what you do want.
Right.
And there's just a huge difference in flavor.
Free range.
So they got a special offer, $10 off, plus free bacon by going to butcherbox.com and using the discount code Adam, plus free shipping anywhere in the 48 states. No commitment, cancel easily, anytime. Enjoy. I talk to these guys. It's like, we just want to offer the best.
Why isn't there like a Vinny box? You know what I mean?
Well, we'll talk them about
it. Yeah, or a Dr. Drew box or something, because I'm in.
ButcherBox.com. Yeah. Check it out. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I am in.
All right, let's see. Where were we, Drew? Let's see. I'm going to take a call up here.
Yes.
Anything about new Walter Longo's research?
I don't know, but let's
fascinating. Hear it. Hey, Connor.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, Adam. Hey, long-time listener.
Hey, man.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure,
Adam, this actually is more of a medical question maybe for Dr. Drew. It's Will Box. But I'm a doctor myself, and I've kind of found something interesting. One of Joe Rogan's frequent guests is Rhonda Patrick. She's like a molecular biologist with a PhD, and she's into all sorts of kind of research about nutrition and that sort of thing. And she's interviewed a bunch of scientists, and one of the scientists she interviewed was a guy who's looking into whether or not fasting just in and of itself can treat chronic disease, autoimmune disease, have a role in cancer therapy. It's pretty interesting stuff. This guy Walter Longo out of, I think he's UC San Diego, who's doing a lot of research into it. Just wondering if you'd heard about it.
I've not read this particular guy's stuff, but I've heard this in the wind quite a bit, and I've been a fan of intermittent fasting, just personally. But it's what's weird to me, though, is that Sean Baker on the carnivore side of things is making the same claims, very similar claims in terms of diminished inflammation and, you know, rheumatoid arthritis becoming suddenly quiescent. So I don't know why these very, very different interventions would have similar anti-inflammatory effects. It's very weird, right?
I will tell you that to me as a layperson, when something makes sense, it just makes sense. And when – again, when you hear that people going, you should eat like 6 or 7 small meals a day, but all day. And I think, could we possibly be made to do that?
If you're eating protein all day, kind of makes some sense. But
well, no. If you're eating protein all day, it's better.
Yeah.
But don't tell me we're wired to eat all day.
No.
That can't be it. We must be wired to go long periods of time without eating.
Absolutely.
And I will say, Drew, as someone who's been engaging this off and on over the last 4 or 5 months.
This is the Vinny stuff or dieting, fasting.
The stuff we're talking about, fasting, okay. Yes. You don't know. You don't eat. You get up for breakfast, you have your MCT oil, you have a little cream in your coffee or whatever that is, okay?
Yeah.
You go through the day and it gets to 6 o'clock at night. You're not famished.
No, I know.
Not pretty quickly. Like, your body adjusts pretty quick. And it's not like, oh, I went to the gym and I started getting lightheaded. Like, no. You're fine.
That's
But people that talk about, oh, my blood sugar is so low. Like, I have people do this all the time to me, mostly family members. They go like, we haven't eaten since noon. And it's like 4:30 and everyone's blood sugar is super low. And we're so tired. And it's like you could go 24 hours without eating and you will be fine.
Here's the one thing that what Connor's talking about that equates to the carnivore diet is when you are fasting, you're not taking in carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me wonder. I just wonder if the carbohydrate starch story is bigger than we know.
I think you're both right. I think fasting is good.
Yeah.
And I think the protein is good.
Yeah. I don't know the story yet. I just don't know the story. No, I mean the biological story.
I know the biological story. I know it all. You do both.
You explaining the physiology of this would be like me trying to tell you about the flywheel and the solenoid.
So well, that's lame.
So don't – let's not do that. Let me not do that
no,
to you.
No, I'm saying
it doesn't feel good.
Fast and get your fats. Yeah. You know, get your protein, get your fats
How much
and,
fats
and fast.
Stuff, that's still kind of a complicated thing. But yes, you're right. That's right.
All right. Let's do one more here. Let's talk to – also, speaking of biology – Matt or Gary can look up my favorite tweet. More stories coming out about how often one should shower and about what kind of soap and things people should use in the shower.
Who said that? Who mentioned that?
I wouldn't mind.
See, I don't like you talking about the things you have declared and now are vindicated. I want to know what's coming.
I know. You say that every time.
I do, and you won't oblige me. Now you stopped.
Matt, 28.
Now you stop being an oracle.
Well, I have to stop and go back and marvel and on all my righteousness about my and total vindication as well. When everyone would tell me, like I'd go, like I don't shower. And then like I open the door of the bathroom. I use my sleeve. I'm like, good. You have shit on your sleeve then when you get on the flight. Like I don't have any time.
Ooh, cold flower showers, fewer sick days. Gary's got to show the thing up there. That's good. I like that.
That's an easy one. But all right, Gary, clear the screen. We'll do it on the next show. But we'll get into showering and all the soap and all the stuff that everyone uses. I've always known was wrong and bad. Matt, 28, Solvang.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Hi guy.
Hi guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my wife is 33 weeks pregnant, and she doesn't want to take any medicine. She has like a cold or something, and I was wondering, Dr. Drew, what
I am 100% with her. And by the way, how do you know it's a cold? She has volume expansion at this stage of pregnancy, where her blood volume is so expanded, her nose could seem congested all the time just from the volume expansion.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Nothing.
I mean, what?
What do you mean she has a cold? What is she
what do you mean?
Experiencing?
Why does her nose seem stuffy? Because the volume of her blood is going...
Because there's so... Her blood volume is way up.
Right.
Even to the point where the vessels in the nose can expand. That's what a stuffy nose is, just your blood vessels expanding in your nose.
Oh, I thought everyone thought it was mucus in there.
Yeah, but the blood vessels expand and then mucus exudes out of the vessels.
Oh. Let me explain that next time.
And there's some cells in there that get stimulated too, mucus producing cells.
Yeah.
But what is she experiencing?
She's got a bad cough, and like you said, her nose is stuffy, and then she's also coughing up a lot of phlegm, you know?
Well, you should talk to her obstetrician for sure.
Let her ride it out.
There are some of the large molecule antibiotics kind of work. I mean, her immune system is messed up, right? When you have a foreign body growing in you, your immune system has to not see it very well, and so that can... It can predispose to certain kinds of infections that you wouldn't otherwise get. But I'm with her. Take as little as possible of everything. But you're later in the pregnancy, call the obstetrician. They may want to put you on something.
Speaking as a guy who never took anything for anything, I've always just found that stuff pretty much runs its course.
Yeah.
I always just let stuff run its course. Like you're sick, and then you're sick for a few days, and then you're not sick. And then you can take a bunch of stuff in those few days, but it's still just kind of – has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
I remember like 15, 20 years ago, the British healthcare system had an advertising campaign. It's like, you could see the doctor and take an antibiotic and be better in 5 days, or you could stay home and be better in 5 days. It's like, yeah, it's the same.
Yep.
It's the same.
All right. Live shows everywhere. Go to adamcarolla.com and find out where. Drew.
Ruthie Lindsay on the Dr. Drew podcast. Gary, can you recommend that one? Right, it's a good one.
Yeah, that's a very interesting one. Yeah. Drops today. For those of you who don't remember, Dr. Drew podcast now on Tuesdays.
Yes, thank you so much. Dr. Drew.com for everything else.
So, until next time, man. Pearl for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.